Good morning. I'd like to call the Code Enforcement Board meeting to order for Thursday, July 14th, 2016. Welcome, everyone. Glad you're here. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Mr. Weatherholtz?
Here.
Mrs. House?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mrs. Kundig?
Here.
And Mrs. Himes did call and say she was unable to make it today.
All right. Is there a motion to excuse Mrs. Himes?
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Harrington, second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes?
No.
No? Any additions or corrections?
No.
All right. Motion to approve the minutes as written.
So moved.
Second. Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communication? Okay. Do we have announcements, Madam Secretary?
Yes, Madam Chair. We do have a few cases. I'll go ahead and read into the record the compliance cases.
Okay.
That
yes,
are
good.
Reflected on mm-hmm. the agenda. As well as ones that have come up that are not mm-hmm. reflected. So we'll start with case number one, CEB 11-1565 for 209 South Ridgewood Avenue, compliance July 13th.
Terrific.
2016.
That was a big
yes.
project.
Well, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Number and under new cases, which just starts on page four.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, CEB 071638 for 129 Westwood Drive, compliance July 7th. Number 12, CEB 071639 for 1309 Imperial Drive, compliance July 13th. Number 13, CEB 071640 for Iowa Street vacant lot, and it's a parcel number 5238. 3800440, compliance July 7th. I believe that's
good.
All I'm aware of.
Okay. All right, would our code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, everyone, here's our procedure. We will be calling our cases by number and for the most part in orders they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner of the property. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak directly into the microphone. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. All right, so let's start at the beginning, I guess. I don't see any attorneys present, correct?
No, I don't see any attorneys present.
Okay. Let's start with our lien review.
And
that would be case number...
for the lien review.
What?
Remember, it's got to have four votes for the lien review.
Right.
Well, we have four votes anyway.
Yeah, we're there. We're good.
We got six of us. We've got to have four
votes
anyway.
We're good. Okay. Case number CEB 09-13-99332 South Seagrave Street. Louis Gonzalez and Elisa Thomas. New owners are New Smyrna Capital Trust. Is the respondent present? Okay. Why don't you come up, please, and be sworn in, and then we'll let the code officers testify and hear from the attorney. Good morning.
Hey.
Can you state your name, please?
Jay Lovett.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And do you represent the New Smyrna Beach Capital Trust?
Yes, I'm okay. The trustee.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. This is before you have for a lien review. I believe that. I don't remember. Do we give the packet to everyone on the lien review?
Yeah, we've got
okay.
it.
Mm-hmm. So you see the request of the applicant. The position of the city is that, as the applicant indicate, that they purchased it as investors. We typically see investors appropriately getting the benefit of the bargain when we're encumbering the property. The city believes that we would agree to a reduction to the amount of $5,000. So that's the recommendation. We do agree that the property is now in compliance.
Okay. What would you like to tell us, Mr. Lovett? Please come forward and tell us whatever you'd like to tell us, what you've done. And
well, the property was in horrible condition when we bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Still pretty rough, but we've put a new roof on the property. We removed all the garbage. There was, they had just hoarders, basically, the people that were in there. We removed them from the property. And really, even a $5,000 lien or fine for us is not, I don't believe, the intent of the liens when they were, implemented. You're obviously trying to get the old owners to bring their own property back into compliance, and that didn't work. So really, the hardship is placed on us. You know, when all we are on the same team, you and I, we come in and we clean these properties up, get them back, habitable. Any of these liens is really counterproductive in our opinion.
Okay, let me ask you a question. When you purchased the property, you were aware that there was a lien on the property?
Yes, we were aware of liens, yes.
Okay. When did you buy the property?
We've had that property probably close to 5 or 6 months. The one thing, when we buy these properties, we're not aware of the extent of the damage. Most of the times we do not get in them. This property was far worse than we had imagined.
Mm-hmm. So you bought it at like a tax receipt sale or something?
This one was a foreclosure sale.
A foreclosure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, when we buy these properties, we take risk, there's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
The $10,000 that we knew, existed, it goes both ways a lot of times with these properties. But in this case, like I say, though, the property was in much worse shape. In fact, the roof was in excess of $10,000 just to get the roof on. We spent more than $10,000 on that roof. They were literally tarps in the upstairs catching water and draining them into buckets.
Could you explain the type of property this is?
It was, I believe, built around the 19-teens or 20s, early 20s. It's only a couple blocks over from here, across from the assisted living, I believe it is. It was single family. I think when I look at the neighborhood that it could go into, a good use would be offices or something like that. But I think the new, we do have it under contract, and I believe, they'll probably still place it in as a single family type situation. But the house itself is a two-story, structure built, like I say, in the early 20s. Had a shingled roof on it, but that shingled roof had failed long ago. You could see daylight through the, when I went upstairs for the first time, I, realized the extent of this damage. But the house is still salvageable. We were able to, we spent in excess of $10,000, like I say, to get that roof on it. And then more, of course, to get all the garbage removed, because they just, I don't know how many cubic yards, but many cubic yards of debris were around that property. To the tune of hundreds of cubic yards.
Mm-hmm.
We put dumpster after dumpster there to get rid of all that stuff.
Oh. Okay. Does the board have any questions that you'd like answered?
I think the biggest is, I assume that you inspected the property before you bought it.
No.
We can only expect them to, there was someone in this property, so more time, almost very rarely do people say, oh yeah, come on in and look at our property, but when we are bidding on this stuff, so a lot of times we buy it, you know, so much sight unseen, we don't get inside most of the properties.
Because the people that were inside, they were they weren't the owners.
No.
They were squatters.
Tenants. Well, they were tenants.
Tenants.
You know, we don't get into the exact relationship with the owners, but they were tenants. They were not owners.
And so probably the first thing that had to be done is, you know, to get them out once you...
Yes, that took about a month, and it typically does take a month to 45 days to get someone out. We a lot of times we don't just put them out on the road. We try to, you know, massage them out, if you will, you know, and so we don't really kick people. It's our, you know, typically we do not just put people on the streets. So it took about a month in this case, I think. A month, 45 days is real common for us.
Any other comments?
What did you buy the property for?
This one, I believe, we paid around $17,000 plus court fee. You know, the clerk has their fees, but I'm going to say just under $20,000 is what we're out the door at the clerk at, over the courthouse. We have it under contract for in the low 40s. It's just not bringing that much money, so we've put probably in the neighborhood of, you know, real close to 15 in it, plus the time we've got invested. So we're, you know, any liens we pay will probably net us zero, real close. We're not making much money on this property at all anyway. I mean, we're, but it is much cleaner. It's, you know, it's, and the new people, I would expect, will, you know, that's their, going to be their intent is to clean up even further. But right now it's got a new roof. You know, it's locked up and you know, looks presentable from the road.
Did you do anything on the inside?
We had to remove, well, like I say, they had so much junk around there that we, I don't know how many dumpsters we used, but I know that there would be more than 6 30-yard dumpsters, or probably they were in this case 20, so more than 100 yards of material, just junk was taken out of there.
Is the house habitable now?
No. No, it didn't really have a kitchen when we bought it. Of course, you find this stuff out, but it does not have a kitchen now that's usable. But other than that, I mean, and actually, a lot of the plaster upstairs had fallen out. You know, from, you know, you could see daylight through the, when I went upstairs, you could see daylight straight through the roof. So it had ruined a lot of the plaster, so the plaster's down. So no, you wouldn't really live in it in this condition. It probably still needs, you know, ballpark, it probably needs $20,000 or $30,000 spent on it. You know, ballpark number.
Any other comments? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $5,000, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
So approved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Harrington and a second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
We'll have you a check very soon. Thank you.
You mentioned 30 days.
I did.
She did mention 30 days.
Yeah. Okay. It'll be sooner than that.
All right. Let's move on to our older cases, our continued cases. And case number one is in compliance. Case number two, CEB 11-15-58, Daytona Beach Condo Association, Daytona Beach Club Condo Association at 800 North Atlantic. Anyone present? Good. Come forward, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm
How
Bill Turcotte. I'm the owner of AAT Restoration Group. I'm the contractor for the owners.
Go ahead.
I'm Stephen Folks, Vice President of Daytona Beach Club.
Good morning, ma'am. Steve Merchant, the President of the Association. Thank you.
Okay.
So help me God.
Yes.
All right, we're just here for a progress report today.
Yes.
Do we have a compliance date set for this? No. Okay, so just a progress report. So we don't need to, we'll hear from Mr. Jackson first or Mr. Klieg, and then we'll, or both.
Madam Chair, because it is a progress report, we, Inspector as well, we mm-hmm. have no addition, anything in addition to the progress. We're satisfied to what has been reported to us, and would just like them to report to the board.
All Okay, and we did receive some engineering reports and progress reports in our packet about this, so things are in the works.
Yes.
Okay. Now, is our progress report set for monthly or bimonthly on this? Monthly.
Actually,
okay.
I'd like to discuss that with you.
Sure, go ahead.
Where we're at now, I brought some file photographs of mm-hmm. the primary deficiency was a structural column holding up the building.
Mm-hmm.
We finished recasting that yesterday. The crews right now are going around checking the structure for anything else that could be a life safety issue that could result mm-hmm. in falling concrete or anything like that. That'll be completed by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The engineer has recommended for additional strength on this column that we go back and wrap it with a carbon fiber mesh, which will be in about 28 days once the concrete cures out.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we're going to be finished with everything that we need to do there until the official start of the project in January 2017.
Right.
So, Mr. Cleek, do you want these photographs?
Yeah, we can show them first.
Okay. I'll just...
Okay.
Add those to the file.
Okay.
So I think for myself and the board of directors, the question is, once we've completed this portion of the compliance, do we need to continue to come to monthly meetings, or where are we going to be at with that?
Well, let's just make... in my opinion, I'm going to pass it this way, and then we'll get it around. I don't think there's a need to continue this once your work is finished.
Mm-hmm.
When your work is finished, then we can think about having you do bimonthly or something like that.
Well,
but
at this point, that particular column area mm-hmm. was the area of concern regarding a potential collapse from the engineer.
Uh-huh.
And that work was completed as of today.
So. Okay. But it hasn't been inspected yet.
By the city? The engineer has inspected it.
The city engineer has inspected it?
No, the engineer inspected it.
Okay.
What else would you like us to provide for you?
Let's talk to Mr. Jackson. Are you satisfied that...
Let's see. Well, am I? Yeah. Okay. I spoke with the inspector, I think probably what we're going to need at least, and I was just trying to recall from the previous meeting, we're going to have this gap. I think it's a funding issue, but the case will remain open.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't know when the anticipated funding will actually be there. Just something, maybe at least a progress report for confirmation that we're almost there or something.
For next month.
We've got a contractual start date of January.
Yeah, I know.
17.
Yeah.
Well, next one just tells us that, yes, they did what they
exactly.
were trying to
right.
finish, that they intended on completing.
Right. If I can,
may be appropriate, but then where do we fill the gap between there and January?
Right,
and
that's
right.
Really
if I
question.
Can just interject on that. I was going to say suggestion. I want to say suggestion. My thought is that if we come back next month, everything we've talked about today can
yes.
be proved by the city. And you'd be satisfied with the work done so far, and that should get us in compliance with the issues we've got to date. The start date in January is more, as I mentioned last time, cosmetic. It's more to do with beautifying the building.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing life-threatening on the building once we've finished this current work. And if we do have to come back for progress reports, maybe bimonthly or even quarterly, just mm-hmm. to get to January, because there's nothing going to happen between this project finishing
mm-hmm.
and January start date. We'll come and say we've done nothing because there's nothing to do. We can't start until January because the construction company don't have the availability till January. The funding we are on track to get, and that will be in place. We have no concern
mm-hmm.
with that. It's just we have nothing to do between this
right.
finishing
and
the January start
yeah.
date.
Okay.
And I don't want to waste your time and nor do I waste
right.
our time just
right.
coming to say we've done nothing, because that
okay.
that's counterproductive.
How long is the contract going to be for?
Once we start in January, we'll be there probably 9 to 10 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the case will be open at least 9 to 10 months more.
You guys that's if you need it to be, because my belief is that once we've done this portion, we are in compliance with what the city was concerned with. Once we've done the concrete restoration for that column, that takes us out of your watch, if you like, and maybe we could even be in compliance.
Well, we also had balcony issues that we're concerned
right.
with. I mean, we're concerned with the whole project,
yeah,
but,
right.
You know, as you say, the safety issues, that was the primary safety issue, but, you know, we also have a balcony concern.
Yeah, and I mean, we have no problems coming back every month. It's just that I just don't see the point.
Yeah, that's not our request. What,
right.
If I can.
Go ahead.
What we'd like to do is if they could come back in November and kind of just give us the status of, you know, that the anticipation that they will be able to start in January, that the funds will be there. Our hope is by November you'll have a pretty confident position of where things are going.
Yeah.
I know you're saying we probably confident
what we say
today,
what we do can be two different things.
November.
Yes, I agree.
And
do you want them back next month?
Yeah, we do want them back next month just to confirm that we've taken care of all of the life safety.
So we really want them every other month. November, then January.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We're on every other
month.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Because once January comes in, then we'll probably want to know again that we are making progress.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? I mean, you are making progress, and that's great, and taking care of these things, so that's terrific.
I have one.
Go ahead.
The column is, you know, the structural column is absolutely, you know, safety, but the mention of balconies and everything, is there a possibility when the engineer of record signs off on the structural column that he could sign off, or, you know, because you say that you're going around and checking other safety issues, balconies, terrace, whatever, that he could sign off and said to say that the structure is safe?
That's going to be a question for Lou. He's usually very conservative. There is hundreds of cubic feet of repair that needs to be done to the balconies. That's the bulk of the restoration project to start in January. What we have done at this point is surveyed the structure to a point that anything in imminent danger of falling, obvious falls on ceilings or anything like that that could create a fall or a crushing hazard, that's what we've removed. We haven't repaired those areas. We've removed them so that no one can get hurt. But the engineer, I don't believe, is going to sign off on the safety of the balconies, just the fact that I'm sure he can sign off that we've removed any loose material. But that might be I told him it's his turn next month, so perhaps you need to ask Lou that question next month. I would think that by then we'll have the carbon fiber installed and we'll have the engineer's report on that column. So I would say that would be the best thing, ask him those questions next month.
I mean, the column is structural failure, but, you know, the safety of the tenants and, the safety of the structural integrity of the balcony, the metal, the rusting, you
right.
know, I know the chipping and everything will be, and I would be interested in the city's comments on that.
Yeah, and that is scheduled to be addressed. Right now, there's no balconies that I'm aware of that are in imminent danger of collapse or anything like that. We're seeing some edge spalling. We're seeing some top surface spalling, some ceiling spalling. Typical repairs. We've done many, many projects where the balconies that had to be completely replaced, and this isn't really that type of a project.
The safety issue is not – safety and structure are two different entities, you know. The balcony falling is one thing, you know, that's the structural integrity of the building. The balconies is for the safety of the occupants. Now, if you have a unsafe balcony, the metal railing on it that's rusted and, you know, going down into the concrete, that's not safe for the public.
At this point, the handrails on the building are in good condition. They're a base-plated system, not a core-drilled system, so they have been upgraded with the last restoration project. So there's no unsafe railings or anything like that we're aware of. Essentially, what the restoration project is going to do is we're going to remove the coatings on the balconies and the walkways. We're going to look for any obvious spalling or corrosion. We'll repair those areas, and then we'll waterproof the whole structure. So that is what they've signed up for, to repair. We've probably found maybe a dozen areas where we have pie plate size areas of spalling on the ceiling. When that happens, they start to laminate and drop down, so that's what we look for. And that's what we went around and removed, so that anything that was in danger of falling that could have, you know, hit someone on the head or something, that's what we've addressed.
Okay.
So the rest of that repair to address any corrosion or rebar or anything like that is in the 2017 project.
Won't those conditions continue?
Absolutely. Yeah, but given the...
We need a progress report to see that things haven't deteriorated from this point. If it's an ongoing deterioration, January's a long way off.
Well, I think that what we're going to do is ask for a progress report for September
and November.
And November. I mean, it would be
August
and November, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
no, we definitely had talked about coming back next month. And then after that, start bi-monthly.
Okay, I guess what we could do is I'll let the engineer know that he has to come next time.
Right.
And a lot of these questions can be answered by
right.
him. You know, because he's, you know, I do this. I've done this for 40 years, and we're really good at it. But the engineer is the one that, you know, you guys are going to have the confidence in his training for structural issues.
Yeah, my only concern is we get at it.
So we'll meet in August and then
absolutely.
September. We'll meet in August and then October. Well, August, September. Oh, I'm confused.
Bi-monthly,
sorry. Bi-monthly, then August.
August and October.
Yeah. No. All right. Are there any other questions? Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to continue the progress report in for August and to initiate bi-monthly progress reports after that. So there would be October. No?
Yes.
Yeah.
December and February.
December and February. Is that?
Right.
Is that satisfactory? All right.
That'd be great.
Are we ending at February or?
No.
So 20.
April.
So June. Bi-monthly.
What remaining 2017?
2017.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
Okay. So moved.
Until compliance, of course.
All right. Second. Mr. Smart made motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Second. Mrs. House, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay, so next month and then bi-monthly. Okay.
The engineer.
With the engineer.
I'll write this morning.
Yeah.
As soon as
okay.
I get back to my company. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you very much. All right, case number 3. CEB 11-15-59 Roy Doveberg at 836 North Oleander Avenue. Is the respondent present? No. All right.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the inspector has reported to me that the structure has been demolished.
Wow.
And they're just completing a lot restoration, and after it's done, then he'll be able to bring it into compliance. So we're asking for a amendment to the next cutoff while he completes the lot restoration.
Okay. So, yeah, that's good. Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of non-compliance and allow the respondent until our next cutoff date, which is August 3rd, to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Motion, Mr. Smart.
Second,
Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right. That's good. Case number 3. Let's move on to case number 4. CEB 0616-36 Bruce Lindergrass. Is the respondent present? All right. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector reports that the property remains in non-compliance. There's been no progress. It needs major work, perhaps a demolition. The staff is recommending $200 a day fine to a maximum of $15,000.
No one's here.
What she ask again? Is anybody here on that, Luigi?
Is there anyone here on this case at all? That's number 4?
3381.
At 388 Brookline Avenue. Okay. So has anything been accomplished?
Mr. Clegg.
Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file. This is at 388 Brookline. If you remember from last month, he had a running fine for outside storage and parking the trailers.
Right.
He removed both of those, got them in compliance, but now he's telling me as of yesterday he's went for an insurance adjuster to see about either demolishing the house or repairing it. But
okay.
There's no progress at all. So.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
They're trying to get rid of remove the tenants. Mm-hmm. Have they done that?
Oh, yeah. That was the prior case from last month where they were living in a trailer.
There were two cases.
Two cases.
Right.
This is the second case.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Any other?
Just one question. The insurance issue. What's the insurance issue?
I have no idea. That's why I asked him too, because there's no fire damage. It's just interior and exterior structural remedies that are beyond repair, I believe. But he's trying to maybe claim that the tenants destroyed it. But if you recall, the tenants moved in and they were supposed to redo the repairs for him in lieu of rent. And that was never done. And like I said, the interior is a hazard. So,
mm-hmm.
And it's one of his rental properties that, he's got throughout the city. So.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent effective today, July 14th, 2016. And continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. All right. Taking care of that case, let's move on to 5CEB0416-20, David Spivey at 1100 Vine Street, outside storage. Respondent present. Good. Please come forward. How are you this morning? Come forward, state your name, and then be sworn in.
I'm Rhonda Spivey. I'm David's wife.
Okay.
Can you state your name, please, sir?
David Spivey.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
I do.
All right. We'll hear from Mr. Jackson. And Mr. Stenson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The by the admission of the respondents, Ms. Bobby has expressed that she feels that they are hoarders and that they've sought assistance. And we've been working with them in that context. Mr. Garcia would like to address the board on some time as he's trying to address those problems. There has been little progress at this point.
Oh, okay. Good morning.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, Hector Garcia, I'm the Neighborhood Services Manager for the City of Daytona Beach. In reference to this property, we'd like to ask that the case be continued till January 2017, at which time hopefully by then the staff and the property owners can hopefully get this property cleaned up. It is an extensive project. I've already reached out to several people in an attempt to get some sort of assistance. I've been unfortunately declined.
Okay.
So we are seeking out other remedies that will hopefully be able to assist the property owners. So that is our recommendation is that if we could extend this till January of 2017, at which time we will come back and advise the board of what's going on. Again, it's a rare case. The extent of the work is immense, and there's no way feasibly possible with the day-to-days that we do to be able to focus on this. It would take literally about a month of me just doing nothing but working on this case along with staff to try to achieve what we were trying to achieve.
What are the services that you're looking into to help them?
Without getting into too much detail, we're looking at possibly, again, the respondents stated they reached out to the television show Hoarders. If I recall correctly, they said they were turned down. We're going to reach out to them. We're going to reach out to other community outreach programs that hopefully can see if we can do something. Again, it's extensive work. I mean, I personally went out there along with Inspector Stenson, and Inspector Stenson was out just photographing for a good 45 minutes, and he didn't even accomplish a quarter of what he needed to take in photographs alone.
Yeah,
the pictures reflect it. That they're trying to help us, but we're going to try to help them with more resources and try to gain information from them.
In the event that Hoarders or some other social services are unable to help them, what is your alternative?
At this time, I don't even want to get into that portion because we're trying to remain optimistic. That's why we're asking for this. And it's a rare case. In 5 years that I've been here, we've hardly ever come up before the board and asked for such a continuance. And when I say hardly ever, it's been basically never. This is the first time that we're doing this. And we're doing it, again, to try to reach out and help them in their situation.
Is it, I'm trying to comprehend, is it a case where to bring in a dumpster and...
That's not going to help. We
That's
not... One dumpster is not going to help. 20 dumpsters, possibly.
Wow.
And but it's a cleanup.
It's a cleanup process, correct. It's a lengthy project. Let me put it to you that way. It's go in there, assess. Once the assessment's been done, then possibly clean up a little bit. Put off to the side, remove, and it's going to take steps. One dumpster is not going to cover it.
I'm just using that for an example.
Right.
But it's
and when I say 20 dumpsters, I'm being facetious, but it could possibly be 20 dumpsters along with other means, going in there and cleaning it up and bulldozing and so forth and so on.
As Mr. Garcia, members of the board may recall, we had a recent
seminar
here in Daytona Beach and recognized the various types of services that this circumstance tends to need. It's a growing problem. That's what the reason why you have even the program, the hoarding program, on television that people are watching. But if we're able to reach out and have the assistance of the programs, those programs would aid in also
provide funding
and behavior modifications that may. Right now, I think part of the problem is that even as it goes, it's still coming. And so trying to help in that regard as well as part of the hope in this outreach.
So I remember, I think, from last time that this is not in a CRA, so there are no...
Yeah, it's not in a CRA. There's
no
not
funds
possible
we can
funding
apply
that
for,
could be applied
apply
to it.
Anything,
again,
yeah.
I've done some sort of research, and as far as the city, if we even went in there, the property value isn't even... Cost factor, mitigating cost factors and everything else wouldn't even... The property wouldn't even cover... the cost. So, I mean, there's different things involved, and we just need the time. And like I said, staff is willing, Inspector Stenson is willing to help, but again, with the overabundancy of work that we have and the caseloads and everything else, and that's not an excuse, but, you know, we can't just focus on this. So that's why we're asking for the amount of time, and plus we have to get the resources in here.
What's the parcel size we're talking about approximately?
Parcel size? It's an acre of land, correct.
It's like the original place there, and then all the other people that lived around it. And what happened was when
it's
inherited it, all that, a lot of the stuff was still there, and they have seen it. There's 50 years of stuff that's still hanging there. We're still trying to get his brother to come up and give us some help, even.
Wait a minute. If you'd like to tell us something, is that all right, Mr. Garcia?
Yeah, we were more than willing to go to the Hoarders show, and we were interviewed by them 3 or 4 times, and they just said that we were just too happy with our situation. There wasn't enough drama. At this point, possibly, there's enough drama. They might take us. I would like that. My niece, who had helped me and tried to get me on the show, she'll be moving back into the area in October. Her son is the one who has the excavation company he works with, and they're... I have a contract and the keys right now that they're working on. So when he comes back, he could rent the equipment and all to come in. There is a porch on the back that needs to be totally torn down that's leaking like crazy. There's extensive stuff. We've also got 3 different people who are actually interested in possibly buying it as is, which would be wonderful. We would love to get out from under it. It's really tearing our relationship apart. I'm still working a 40-hour week, and so I have like 2 days a week that I'm actually to get out there. I cut the grass and everything. I'm 71 years old. I've had it. I'm over it. And he's 76. You see, he can't really get around to you. We just want to deal with it the best we can. And if a builder could come in there and buy us out, trade us even anything, we'll take anything at this point.
Yeah. No, this is a lot of ifs.
Yeah,
that I see. I'm not being.
I understand.
Trying to be critical, but I see us dealing with a lot of ifs. I don't, a TV show does, I've seen that show, but, that's an if.
Yeah, the issue in front of us is whether or not we want to give them the extension or not.
Right.
Really, what
that, that's correct. That is
as far
correct.
As the information that the respondent has just provided the board. I mean, we're going to get with her to try to corroborate all the information. Again, it's like you said, there's a lot of ifs, but there's a lot of possibilities of things happening. But we need the time.
Okay.
If we're going to help them. If not, it's up to you.
I want to ask about the sanitary conditions on the property. Can you tell me about that? And does it impact neighboring properties?
Most of the, and again, Inspector Stenson is here, and the pictures will reflect that. The observations that we've made, you're asking sanitary again. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about exterior? Because the interior, we have not gone onto the interior of the home.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the exterior, again, any type of outside storage,
mm-hmm.
sort of speaking, this is beyond
mm-hmm.
outside storage. This is...
mm-hmm.
Huh? It's an overabundance on, I would say, 3/4 of the acres of the land of stuff being piled up and stored and everything else out there. So... Is there a home immediately to the right or to the left or to the north, the south of the property? No, they have some sort of
buffer.
Gap in between. There's a buffer, correct.
How did this complaint get brought to code?
I believe it was complaint driven.
It was complaint driven.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to know who complained against
it? Yeah, we're going off track again.
Well,
the question is, do or do we not want to give them the time?
So let's hear. Does anyone have a comment?
My opinion is we should agree with what our inspectors say. Help these people and stop talking all day long about it. Let's help these people. It'd be refreshing to me to see us help them right away.
Absolutely. See if we can give them the help that we need and the time.
All right. Any other comments? Do we want to see, I'm going to ask one more thing. Do we want to see progress reports? Or we just want to say January?
No, I think that we should have progress reports for the city to let us know what they've come up with.
I agree with you, but I need to know what the board thinks about this.
My opinion is we have very, very competent people that are with the city. I don't think there's any reason to burden them with that. They're doing the proper job. Let's just get it done. And when it comes to the point in January of 2017, then we may want to do it. But for now, let's just get it done to help these people. We've had our experts tell us what they think. I think we should follow through with what they're requesting.
I agree.
Does someone want to make a motion?
I agree. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until January, the cutoff date in January.
We actually, the calendar doesn't go that far.
Okay. Yeah, the calendar doesn't go that far. Until January, the cutoff date in January 2017 to commit to compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to...
It would be January 4th.
January 4th. Fine. Fine $100 a day?
No,
he's becoming
back.
Up to
$1,000 a day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Smart and a second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like sign opposed? That would be me. Nay.
Just one opposed?
One opposed. Okay. Thank you. Let's move on to case number 6, CEB 06-16-31. Julio Victor Costello at 363 Jefferson Street. Violation is junk vehicles and outside storage. Respondent present? It didn't say it was in compliance. I'm sorry, I missed it.
Nobody said it was in compliance.
Fine. Case number CEB 06-16-31 is in compliance as of 7/7. Moving on to case number 7, CEB 06-16-32, Paulette Gordon.
Paulette Wright.
Okay. And I'm sorry, Ms.
Sorry, that's Paulette Wright. I'm the daughter of Katrina Gordon.
Oh, Katrina Gordon. Okay. Just come forward and be sworn in, please.
Ma'am, could you say your name for the record?
Oh, Paulette Wright.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. We'll hear from our code officers first and our attorney, Mr. Jackson, our city attorney.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. This started as a complaint-driven violation. The respondents have worked on some aspects of remedying this. However, the some of the major work, which is the dilapidated fence, dilapidated roof, still remains and is incomplete. The inspector is John Stinson. The inspector reports at this point that he believes it's too little too late, and he's asking for $150 per day fine to a maximum of $10,000. And I will tender Mr. Stinson. Well, that's the thing. For the factual information, I'd have to look to Mr. Stinson or Mr. Garcia.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
As far as the other violations that were written up on the property, they have come into compliance. The only two that remain in non-compliance are the dilapidated fencing and the dilapidated roof. So the vehicles have been removed. The only existing violations are the ones that I stated and Mr. Jackson stated.
Would the respondents like to say anything? Okay.
Hello. I'm Katrina Gordon again. This whole thing caught us by surprise. We came into compliance as quick as we could and as financially as we were able to. So we did knock down the house. It was a house in the back. We got that knocked down. My mom came up with like $600 out of her pocket. It's my mom's property. And she works for the school board, so she was off all that summer. So that was her summer money. So the only thing that we do have left is the fence and the structure on the roofing of the, I don't know the terminology.
The fascia
of the house. We have gotten the hot water heater redone. I don't know if they have a new picture of that.
Yes.
But it's redone. We got the house in the back knocked down completely. We got all the cars out.
Can you give me a time frame? When has all this work taken place?
It's done already. It's just the two items that are left. But as far as money-wise and time is working
against us. When do you think you could get it accomplished?
Well, my mom just started doing the summer school work. She works for the school board. Mm-hmm. So she just started doing the summer school work. So she was hoping at least until the end of September, as far as financially.
Mm-hmm. This is your mother's home?
This is my mother's home. And I'm helping as well, but I have my own finances as well with school coming up. So I'm helping as much as I can, too.
Any comments from the board? Any questions? Mr. Jones, do you have any questions or comments?
Just like comment from our inspectors. See what they say again.
Not me or you again.
Good morning, members of the board. John Stinson, code inspector. My qualifications are on file with the city. It was complaint driven as a non-conforming use of the property as a auto repair shop. Since they were actually cited, all those activities have ceased. All the vehicles have been removed. Everything that they were cited for has been corrected, except for the actual small piece of fencing and the fascia board. We've had cooperation, no problem, and we have no problem with amending to the next cutoff.
Comments from the board?
I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Your suggestion is, I think we should go out of our way to help people in a financial situation where they are having some money issues, where we should try to help them as much as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until August 3rd, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion? No motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Mr. Jones makes a motion. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Okay, you've got another month. Okay. Moving on to case number 8, CEB06-16-33, Sean Holmes and Pamela Candil at 634 Washington Street. Respondents present. They weren't present last month either. Can we have a report, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector reports that that all the violations still exist, and it's even getting worse. He expresses that the status is deteriorating rapidly. The inspector is requesting $300 a day fine to a maximum of $10,000. The inspector is John Stinson, and I tend to Mrs. Stinson for any factual information needed.
Yes. Good morning, John
Good
Stinson.
Morning.
Code inspector with the city. We do have some neighbors of the property that would like to be heard on the case.
Before that, is this a vacated posted property?
The property should be vacated. I did post the property. However, the individuals remain. In fact, the number of people are beginning to increase.
Would you like to come forward and say anything?
And they're not the owners.
No, sir. The owner is deceased recently.
Okay.
Crystal Westfall.
Is that with a C or a K?
C-R-Y-S-T-A-L. Yes.
Please, do you solemnly swear or affirm
that
the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. What is your relationship to this case?
I just purchased a home with my boyfriend on June 17th.
Okay.
Next door.
Okay.
Sean Holmes is not here because he's dead.
Okay.
Which was the owner of 634.
It's one of the owners.
Yes.
Yeah.
My problem is, like he said, the occupants are not to be there whatsoever. They're squatters. We have multiple police reports. They were stealing. My boyfriend and I drove a semi over the road. We were gone 3 to 4 weeks at a time. My mom was watching the house, had multiple police calls because they are stealing our electricity. They have cut our locked electrical breaker box to get into that because we had turned the breakers off. They've took our locked water spout lock off. It's a major problem. Now they are building fires, and the fire pit is right up against our fence. They've broken our fence with different things that they have piled up there as far as scrap goes. The drugs, the prostitution, the in-and-out people, it's a circus. First off, they have no business there. They need to be out of there. Now they're causing fire problems. I had to move my boyfriend's truck because the fire was coming through the fence day before yesterday. And it was right, we park right under our carport right there. I had to move his truck. Every time I go to work or go to the grocery store, I'm scared to death that something's going to happen. I came off of the road partially because I was scared of what's happening to the house when I'm gone. Like I said, multiple police calls have been made because of the theft. Our shed was broken into, theft, and it all links to them. And it's nothing. They have no sewer. They have no water. They have no electricity, no nothing. And like I said, they don't even belong there.
Okay. Thank you.
We found these people in non-compliance. So.
Yeah, so all we're doing, what we can do is impose a fine. A lot of these issues seem to be beyond our control. But we can impose a fine today.
Have you been able to find Donna Stibbins or Pamela Candill?
Have you been able to find either of those people? That's a question for the code officer. We don't.
No, we have not yet. But we are still searching.
So it's my understanding that Pamela Candill is not to be found?
All we know is she lives in Ohio. Donna Stibbins was the original owner. She lives on John Anderson Drive.
She's not listed as an owner.
No. She was the previous owner, as to Sean and, Sean and Pamela. Well, see, they haven't paid.
Speak into the mic, please.
They haven't paid a mortgage in like 5 years. And then, like I said, Sean's been gone for maybe 4 or 5 months. Sean and Pamela, or Sean was basically living there for free because Donna Stibbins' husband was a doctor and he passed away and she didn't want to deal with the property. And so she hasn't tried to collect anything or anything like that. So that's how all this is just completely unraveled. And Sean and Pamela has been broken up, I guess, maybe 3 years. And Pamela went back to Ohio.
Okay. Any comments from the board?
Let me ask you something on the... The original owner that sold it, would she still be on the title, on the record?
Well, if they sold property, that
it doesn't reflect it.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, if there was a legal obligation or a contract.
Right.
So, you know, in whose name is the property, and is there a second title? Did she hold a lien on it or some type?
If I may, Mr. Weatherholz, I think there may be a little bit of confusion because the inspector misspoke when he said that the owner was deceased. The property was co-owned. So they had both Mr. Holmes along with Pamela Candell were co-owners of the property. So when Mr. Holmes died, Ms. Candell
still
no, I'm talking about
remains.
The original owner that sold the property to, you know, they sold it to this couple.
Okay.
And so did they have a
mortgage or a lien?
Mortgage,
yeah.
Or something on that? Did they? That would be the legal issue of whether she holds a mortgage on it.
I don't know. It sounds like an issue that's probably outside the scope of what the board should be considering.
Yeah, because I mean, it would be like holding the bank accountable if you had a mortgage. Same thing. It doesn't. It's not relevant. I don't.
Well,
think
at least under our current filing, it's
right.
Outside the scope.
Okay.
Unless you wanted to foreclose, if that was the case, I guess. All right.
But our status now is that I believe the inspector's indicated he's still making a diligent effort to try and make contact with the co-owner. We've had no response, but
Pamela,
we have.
He's yes. Trying to make contact with. When you say trying to make contact, do you mean speaking to her, or is she getting notices?
I have found 5 Pamelas with the same name in Ohio, and I've sent certified notices to all of them.
Okay.
Signatures on any of them?
No, sir. I've gotten no response from any of those notices sent to Ohio.
So technically, we have no evidence that the owner has been notified.
But we've met that requirement at the last meeting, Mr. Harrington. Once they either post the property or send a certified letter out, they've met the requirement. I mean, it's nice if we could find people. Unfortunately, sometimes we just can't.
We've done both. We've posted the property and sent certified.
Who are we to find if we decide to find the 5 different people? Or
no, the owner of the property.
Which is 1 of 5, maybe?
No, it goes to the property.
It goes to the property.
Yeah, it's not against a person, it's against the property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I call for the question.
Okay.
Is there any enforcement regarding this? Since
people are living there illegally, do they have a particular way they handle something like this, or is it from you gentlemen telling them what's going on? Or? Mr. Jones, I think even the witness has indicated that she's made contact with the police, and you know, to the extent that they what their authority are, they have, I think. You've indicated a number of things, and whether or not there are alternative remedies that's outside of the realm of the board, there very well
right.
may be, and also things that the staff will continue to discuss to see what we can do to assist in this problem.
Thank you.
We used to have a nuisance abatement board. Does that still exist?
Yes, it does. Not sure if that would fit the criteria of the
All
statute.
Right. The question has been called. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $300 per day against the respondent effective today, July 14th, 2016, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholtz, right?
Yes.
Second, Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
May I ask a question?
You may. Why don't you ask the inspector a question? I think we've ruled on this, so. We're going to move on to the next case, CEB 06-16-34, Sarah Flournoy, who didn't show up last time. Is she here this time? 848 Berkshire Road, parking on unimproved surface, junk vehicles. Mr. Jackson? I don't see Mr. Reconcile. Oh, there he is. Hello.
Yes, he's here.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. Cliff Reconcile is the inspector, and I'll tend to Mr. Reconcile to give you the status of the case at this stage.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Cliff Reconcile, inspector. My credentials are on file. I had contact with her on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she was going to be in compliance. I went out there Friday, Saturday, and today.
Mm-hmm.
She's still in non-compliance. Property's still the same way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The vehicle in the grass is a junk vehicle, and the one in the driveway is also a junk vehicle.
Okay. Any comments from the board?
Can I ask?
Go ahead.
What criteria is a junk vehicle is not licensed?
The vehicle can't be, it has to be able to operate up and down the road. It has to be running and be able to drive, not having a tag. Also shows that it's a junk vehicle. And anytime you have overgrowth of grass covering the vehicle.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you. It pretty much covers it.
Yeah. What is the final recommendation?
$100 a day.
Maximum of what?
Yes.
$10,000.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $100 per day against the respondent effective today, July 14, 2016, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Smart, second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign, opposed, motion carries. All right, let's move on to our new cases. Case number 10, CEB07-16-37, Sharon Schwan, care of Jessica Ciccarelli. I'm not quite sure I've said any of those names right, but I'm sorry. Is a respondent present? No? All right. We'll hear from Mr. Jackson and then Mr. Garcia.
I can have just one moment. No. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you as one of the new cases for imposition of, not imposition, for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Daniel Garcia, and he indicates that the that there's a roof damage and that the property remains in noncompliance. He asked for you to make the finding of noncompliance and give him till next cutoff to come into compliance. And I'll tender Mr. Garcia for any further factual information.
Okay. Mr. Garcia.
Morning, Inspector Garcia, City of Daytona Beach. Credentials on file. Originally, I'm just asking for noncompliance next cutoff. But originally, the violation was junk vehicle. The vehicle that's in one of the photos with no tag, inoperable, disabled, flats. That has been removed. The only thing now that remains is the roof there, as you see, with the grass growing over it. I spoke to a family member a couple days ago. They stated that the owner is in a nursing home, but the brother is residing in the home.
There is someone living in there?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And there is... they just need time to get a permit and then get a hire a contractor to do the roof.
All right. So your recommendation is that we find them in noncompliance. Do we want the next cutoff date? Is that what you're asking for?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Chair will entertain a motion. Are there any comments from the board? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance in order for the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date of August 3rd, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Smart, second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Case number 11, CEB07-16-38 is in compliance. Case number 12, CEB07-16-39 is in compliance. Case number CEB07-16-40 is in compliance. We have one more case today, case number 14, CEB07-16-14, Eugene Monkovich at 223 North Seneca. Is the respondent present?
Yes, he is. I think he just got
out. Okay. Well, we can wait a second for him. Hello.
Hi.
Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Eugene Monkevich. I'm in 46 North Buck Circle in Palm Coast.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. Let us hear from Mr. Jackson and then Mr. Stenson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance.
Mm-hmm.
The inspector is John Stinson. As he reports, the violation are junk vehicles, that there were two junk vehicles in the driveway. Mr. Stinson informs me that, at least right now, it's been indicated by the respondent that that's been remedied, and with pictures that the respondent has. I don't know if Mr. Stinson has since been out to see on his own, but so at this stage, would ask for a finding of noncompliance, and I'll tender Mr. Stinson for a determination of whether or not it remains, if he's asking for an opportunity to inspect, or if we will just ask for the finding and move forward from there.
Is there pictures that he showed him saying that he's in compliance?
The gentleman does have pictures, and I haven't seen them. I'm sure when we hear from him, we can make a determination.
Mr. Stenson?
Good morning. John
Good
Stenson
morning.
Again. Code inspector. Qualifications are on file. My last inspection of this property was yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
The violations did still exist. However, the property owner has approached me this morning just before the hearing with photographs from this morning stating that the property is now in compliance, or from later on yesterday afternoon, stating that the property is now in compliance. And I have no problem with that.
Do you want us to do a, find him in non-compliance, and then it's a case, so it doesn't go back again?
Yes, sir.
Violator?
Yeah, that's what we're looking for?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's hear from Mr. Monkovich. Do you have something you'd like to tell us?
Okay. Well, I'll get to the point, directly to the point. I was there yesterday about 6 p.m., and both vehicles were moved, and I made the pictures, the one on the phone and one with the date stamp camera from yesterday about 7 p.m., I also, this is from the phone, and this too from the camera, and also actually tenant was here a little bit earlier today, and they sent me another. Actually, I got another picture from this morning with no cars in the driveway. I have it on the phone. I have it on the camera as well. Mr. I did not have a chance.
That's
fine. If you testify under oath, that's
okay.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Take your word.
And got the picture from tenant that she got registration. One vehicle was moved, both vehicles were moved, and one came back today while we're here with the registration and running, and you know, and it's on the picture. You will see it's in a different position as well. So
this is a tenant that is. This is not where you live. Are there any questions from the board? So we're going to do a will find. Is that what you're asking for?
Yes.
To find. All right. If there are no questions, the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance, and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence in case be dismissed.
So moved.
Motion from Mr. Smart.
Second
from Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm so sorry.
You're good.
We're okay for now. Okay.
You're good.
Good.
Don't, but can't happen again. All right. Any miscellaneous business? I'd like to thank the code board, the code department for the workshop that they did for us this month, or last month, I guess it is now.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Are we currently under permits, or are we still under the police department?
Yeah.
I don't know. You have to ask.
Okay. What was the question?
Are we currently supervised by permits, or are we still under the police?
You, the board, or the Neighborhood Services Division? It was a twofold question.
Yeah.
The board is the board. The Neighborhood Services Division is going to go under permitting and licensing.
But it has not happened yet.
Has not happened yet.
I think that was the question.
Okay.
Okay.
We have.
We're independent of them, allegedly independent of the city.
Okay. We have one item. I want to introduce the board to our new member of the Neighborhood Services Division.
Great. Welcome.
Jerome McCoy. He just started with us this week. So in a few weeks, he'll be the next few weeks, he'll be going through training, and then eventually he'll be presenting his cases before the board.
Good.
So I just wanted to introduce you to him.
Welcome.
McCoy is a very famous name in the Delta Beach.
Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Good. Anything else?
Yes. Mr. Smart and Mr. Weatherholt's terms are up August the 23rd, so we need a new application from Mr. Smart and an email confirmation from Mr. Weatherholt.
Already done that.
Okay. She wanted Betty Goodman needed me to mention it to you today.
Yes.
Okay. Electronically?
Yeah,
or would you like a hard copy?
Took it to the desk, and she said she would take it to Betty Goodman.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Because I've got a confirmation on that from Mrs. Goodman's office.
I didn't receive it yet, but I'll check before I leave today.
Okay.
Yeah, Betty should have mine.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Mr. Jackson?
If the city attorney's still in here, Bob Jager. I know some of you all have met him in the past. Some of you may not have. So,
hi, Bob.
So I'd like to introduce him to you. That's the city attorney for the city and my boss. So,
hello.
He's
hiding.
Those who may not realize that.
In the darker recesses
those who
of
knew
chambers.
Harbin, she's since retired, and Bob is our city attorney.
Welcome, Bob.
Thank you. Let me just say thank you for your service, and certainly if you have any questions, feel free to contact me or Mr. Jackson with anything you have.
Okay. Thank you for coming today.
And Tony, you told her that I used to be assistant city attorney.
I did not.
You did not?
But yes, you did.
Yeah, I used to work for the – I used to be assistant city attorney, 75 to 80. That's how old I am.
Don't admit to it.
He was just a kid then.
In fact, we just opened this building back then. That's how old it is.
Okay, anything else today? All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you.